World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, man, I'm scrambling this morning. This morning, I just shared with some of the folks before we went live. I had a powerful 10 minutes or so with our grandson. Three of our grandkids spent the night with us last night. And Dave woke up early this morning. My wife's awake. And we just sat down and, my goodness. Sit down and explained to him the spiritual world, the fallen angels, demons. Wow. What a moment that was. What a moment that was. Hey, good morning. We have a lot going on, man. There's a lot going on. Appreciate y'all joining us here this morning. I don't know everything. But I know that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We're going to touch on some stuff this morning that is really kind of hidden. Lord, just let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get going too deep, we got to pray today again. Folks, look, I want to solicit your prayers. We have an event. First of all, back up. Thanks to all of you who donated for this trip that we're undertaking this weekend. And I can't tell you a whole lot about that until we complete it. Just trust us that there's a reason why, okay? That it looks right now that we're going to have maybe upwards 15, 20 people that are going to be there, and we're going to do an initiative, and I'm not going to say any more than that. But because of your generosity, the hotels have been paid for, the travel to get there, the gas has been paid for, the meals have been paid for. You know, the scripture says that no soldier, I wish I could find, doesn't matter, maybe the other day, no soldier goes to warfare at his own charges. When you go to battle for the Lord, you shouldn't have to spend your own money. So I just want to thank all of you out there for funding the troops. That's what you've done. You have funded the troops. And there's going to be, I wish more of it could come. And when we get done with that, I'm going to explain to it. It's an unbelievable thing what's going on. So we thank you for that. But we're also right now, and because of that, we're in 10 days of prayer. And today is Proverbs 28. Spencer, if you go ahead and pull that up. And Spencer, let's do this. Let's put it in the New King James. Might be easier. Yesterday, we kind of struggled through it, okay? And I don't want to do that. But one of the things that we're doing in this initiative is that we are reading 10-day, we're going to war, okay? This is war preparation. We're going to war. And one of the things that we're doing is we're fasting and we're praying what's been laid out here before us. So just to speed it up, I mean, I'd love for audience participate. Anybody want to read it? Somebody come on in.
I can.
Okay, go ahead. Come on in. This is, folks, this is Proverbs 28, okay? And I would suggest that you, let me take a pause here. Do you guys share what we're doing here? Do you share what we're doing here? You understand how much we could expand what's going on if you simply shared it? And don't try to get people to come and watch Coach Day. Don't do that. It isn't about me. But you would have to admit that, man, we have, as the Bible says, the job of the pastor is to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. Is that getting done here? Are we training, equipping, and motivating the saints for the work of the ministry? Absolutely it is. I'm going to tell you by the thousands, literally the thousands, they're laying out there in the hinterland waiting to be trained, equipped, and mobilized. It's not that Christians don't want to do something. They don't know what to do. Nobody's trained them how to do it. And that's what we're trying to do here. And I've created a monster in some ways because some of you guys are, you're light years ahead of me. And so this initiative is put together by, I believe Craig's one. It's at the Liberty, Action Network. Just get Spencer, go there real quickly so people know how to find this stuff and share it with others. Mel's put it together. Mel's just a lady. She's just a lady. And she says, man, this is something I can do. This is a ministry. You go to Current Action, and we're doing 10 days of prayer and intercession to bring light and discernment during this time of darkness of death. Folks, we're in, right? We're coming into Halloween, All Saints Day, the darkness that's going on. Is the church praying against this darkness, or is the church opening its door to it? Trunk or treat, as if you take the word trick off of it, now it becomes righteous and holy, right? We just model the world. And if we don't understand it's a spiritual war, I'm going to get into this. Lord gives me time. We'll get into that today. So there's a bunch of us, like I said, bunch of us. We're heading to some far off place this weekend. In fact, we're going to go, we'll leave Thursday. We're going to do the action on Friday. And we'll come back home Friday night. So we covet your prayers. You say, Coach, what is it? I'll tell you afterwards. I'm going to tell you now. Because there are people out there who would like nothing more than to foil our plans. So here's Proverbs 28, which is part of the initiative that that Craig has set up in conjunction with some others. And go ahead there.
The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions.
Amen on that one. Somebody say amen. Listen, I'll try to keep my commentary down during this. Go ahead.
Because of the transgression of a land, many are its prince. But by the man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. A poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain, which leaves no food.
Freeman, buddy. Hey, folks. You realize hell's about to break loose if they don't settle and get that food out to those food stamp people. Do you understand that? Do you understand the food stamps go out the first? And those folks who aren't getting food, come on now. Come on. Go ahead.
Those who forsake the law praise the wicked.
Wow.
But such as keep the law contend with them.
Stop right there, Betty. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Look around. But such as those who keep the law, we contend with them, don't we? Huh? There's a war going on, baby. Go ahead.
Evil men do not understand justice,
but
those who seek the Lord understand all. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possession by usury and extortion, gather it for him who will pity the poor.
There you are. By the way, who increases possessions by usury? That's that interest. Wouldn't that be the government? Wouldn't that be the government? Increase their possessions by what? Usury. Go ahead.
One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves.
They sure do.
He who covers his sins will not prosper.
There's talk there, buddy. Huh? You covering up your sin? You ain't going to prosper, buddy. Go ahead.
But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people.
My goodness. Like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion is a charging bear is a government ruler over poor people. Wicked ruler. Wicked government.
Boom.
A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit. Let no one help him.
Wow.
Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who falls frivolity will have poverty enough.
Frivolity, that just means just play around. He who follows, always just going out to have a good time, he's going to have enough poverty.
A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished.
Mm.
To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress.
Sure will. You can be bought off, folks.
A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue.
When you speak the truth, they will eventually thank you. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over in football. When you correct a guy and he begins to do it right and he gets better, he'll thank you.
Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer.
Mm.
He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool.
Wow.
But whoever walks
your, by... Don't you tell us, follow your heart? Don't we hear that all the time? You got to follow your heart. You're a fool.
But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who gives to the poor will not lack.
Mm.
But he who hides his eyes will have many curses.
I hope that's not true. Huh? You're hiding your eyes from the poor and the needy? Huh?
When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase.
Randy, did you hear that? When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Vinny, that'd be boom. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Isn't that something? That's why we need to see some public hangings. Hey, what? When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Oh, yeah. Why? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord, beginning. I'm all over today. I've got a lot going on. oh, my goodness. This is such good stuff. All right. Pull up number, just says food lines. I want to make you all aware of this, friends. Please make a trip to wherever you get food. I'm not trying to scare you. Food lines are already growing longer all over America. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I'm going to put it in the chat. They cut off those folks that cut off those EBT cards. By the way, it's the Democrats that are doing it. But they want to blame it on Trump. You understand that? And the media is painting it out like it's Trump. Like Trump's the one that's doing it. No. So demand for free food is soaring across Kansas City. Folks, I'm just telling you, go get. Scroll down through this real quick, if you can, a little bit, Spence. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to put it in the chat. Food lines are already growing longer. Do you know that about one in five Americans is on some type of government assistance? The checks go out the first of the month. If they keep government shut down, the checks ain't going out the first of the month. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. What else? I'm looking at what I wrote down here. Right? Okay, I'm going to take you somewhere today. I'm going to take you somewhere. This has to do. Go ahead, Craig. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if this does happen, don't go to where everybody goes to the store. Don't go to the Walmarts. Go find your local little grocery, little meat store off on the backside and go make relationships with them, because, don't follow the herds, because the herds are going to be chaos. Find the little people on the side, selling food, doing things.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to take you someplace today. For some of you, this might be new. And I like to ask people this question. When was the last time you were in church that the pastor or anybody, a Bible study, men's meeting, wherever, that anybody talked to you about demons, demonology, fallen angels. You ever had a class on that? Anybody ever had a class on that? It was a spirit realm. I just had it with my grandson. It was a powerful moment I had with him to explain. Here's what he said to me. I was explaining. I said, "Davey, we're in a tank." So do you ever go to the zoo, which you can do at the Columbus Zoo, and go into the aquarium? I've explained this to you before. And the big aquarium's there, and you can see all the fish in there, and you knock on the window, and they don't even respond. They don't respond because they're in a different dimension, right? So we're in a dimension, and there are people around us, beings around us, but we're locked in this dimension, and we can't see them. They can see us, but we can't see them. And they have the ability to cross dimensions. We don't know how that works, but they have the ability to be able to do that. You know what my grandson said to me? He said, "Grampy, would that be like getting on an elevator and going up to another floor?" I went, "Wow. Wow." Because if you dig into the Bible, how many heavens are there? We hear people talk about the seventh heaven, going to the seventh heaven. Hey, Spencer, do that real quick. Google that real quick. How many heavens, levels of heaven are there? And by the way, when's the last class you had on that? How many levels of heaven are there? Number have seven levels in Jewish and Islamic tradition, and a three-level structure in some Christian interpretations. So there's at least three levels of heaven, and maybe as many as seven. Do you name it? Do you know anything about that? What was it, the fifth dimension? Remember them when they were singing music, the fifth dimension? Yeah, there are dimensions that we don't under, that's where I'm going today, okay? Now, I'm going to go to some place that it must be important. It's from Stephanie. Hang on, Stephanie. Let me see. She just texted me. She can't get in here. She said, amen. And so when the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, it's this, as David would say, it's a different elevator. Different elevator. And the higher up in the elevator you go, the more power there is. Now, we've been blessed with the ability because of the Holy Spirit. Bible says we wrestle not against those on those other elevators. We don't wrestle against them. We don't have to wrestle against the floor of the elevator. We wrestle against those who live there. Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high place. Are you with me? Is this making sense? Because I'm going to tell you, we don't hear this stuff in church. So I wanted to, golly, I hate to do this. But I think it's really, really important that we do it, all right? Which one I want to pull up? Pull up for me real quickly. Good info. It says, what are demons? Now, here's what I did this morning, folks, and you're going to have to do some of your own research, okay? Look at this. I just put in the search bar, what are demons? You see my search bar there? What are demons? And look at the information that pops up on what demons are. Again, let me stop you. When's the last class you had in your church on demons? Types they are, where they came from, how they operate. Spencer, just take that page and just scroll down a little bit. Folks, look at the information just on this page. Now, wait a minute. Not all of it's true. Not all of it's true. But why do we have this demonic realm around us and Christians have so little understanding of it? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Don't give me a thumbs up. I can't give you all this, okay? I don't have time to give it all to you. I don't. But this is really, really important. And this is what we're fighting against. Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, right? We hear it. It's in the Bible. The kings of this earth set themselves and our rulers take counsel together against the Lord. It's everywhere we look. The description of our spiritual wars, everywhere we look, yet we as Christians don't understand it. Okay? So I want to do something here that a lot of people don't like. A lot of them don't like it. I want you to bring up number 10. Two books that should be in the Bible, or people say should be in the Bible and aren't, are the book of Enoch and the book of Giants. Did you know that those are apocryphal? Did you know the book of Enoch was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls? In other words, they didn't even have the book of Enoch when they put the Bible together. And they found it in the Jasher's another one. They found its book of Enoch in the Dead Sea Scrolls. No wonder it's not in the Bible. The Bible had already been put together when they find it. And what is the Book of Enoch? Scroll down there a second, Spencer, if you could, real quickly. I'm not gonna give you all this, but you guys, hey, you gotta do your own research, right? You gotta do your own research. Go on down, Spence. Here it is. There are two Enochs in the Bible. The first Enoch is the son of Cain. Goes on to explain who Enoch was. He's not just a made-up creature. Enoch was Cain. The first Enoch is the son of Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel? In Genesis 4, Cain is the son of Adam and the brother of Abel. Cain killed Abel. It's the first recorded murder or homicide. In verse 17, Cain knew his wife, and she was conceived and bare Enoch. Enoch. And Enoch built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. We read about the second Enoch in Genesis 5. Scroll down, Spence. Enoch, I'm not going to take time to tell all this, okay? Enoch is the son of Jared, who was the son of Mahalalel. Mahalalel is the son of Canaan, who was the son of Enos, who was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam. So Enoch was Adam's great, great, great grandson. Raise your hand if you've ever heard any of this. That's what I thought. At age 65, Enoch had a son named Methuselah. After Enoch walked with God for 300 more years and the children, then Enoch was not. God took Enoch to heaven. Enoch didn't die. He was raptured up. Enoch's son Methuselah was the oldest. This is fascinating. So they left a book called the Book of Enoch. Not in the Bible. Hang on. It's in the Ethiopian Bible. But yeah, it's in the Ethiopian. What happens in the Book of Enoch? Scroll down a minute. The Book of Enoch is an ancient Hebrew apocalyptic religious text. There are three books of Enoch. The contents discussing demons, giants, and angels, and why the flood was necessary. None of the books Enoch, by the way, this is Christianity.com. This isn't some far right wing, left wing. None of the books of Enoch are included in the traditional Christian Bible. This article's purpose, we will focus on the first book of Enoch. Put this in the chat because you got homework to do, okay? I'm going to explain the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch goes on to describe the fallen angels having children with the daughters of men, thus creating giants. Much wickedness comes from the giants, along with other. It's all right there. It's all right there. Put that in the chat. And don't go talk about this with your friends, because people are going to say, well, you are caught in a cult. You mean he's teaching books that aren't in the Bible? Let's say Enoch wasn't the canon. In other words, it wasn't the approved. It's certainly a historical book, isn't it? Isn't it a historical book? Let's say, well, it doesn't really belong in the Bible because there are some things in there that aren't true. Okay, I'll buy that. But isn't it a historical book? And did you know that I think it's twice the book of Enoch is quoted in the Bible? Did you know that? Enoch also describes dialogues between God and different angels, like Raphael and Gabriel, who are charged to help execute judgment. The book of Enoch lists about 200 fallen angels. Oh, this gets my blood flowing. Okay, so I'm doing this for a reason. Because part of the initiative that we are getting ready to do this weekend has to do with this. It has to do with this. And it has to do with, can I say it? Burial mounds. Indian mounds, they've told us, folks. They ain't Indian mounds. They ain't Indian mounds. They're Nephilim mounds. They're Nephilim mounds. What? Okay. Well, let's do this real quickly. Let's pull up the Book of Enoch, number 11. Number 11. This is the Book of Enoch. Hey, look. Okay, say, look, Coach Dave, you're teaching non-biblical stuff. I'm telling you right now, this is non-biblical, but it's historical. Okay, with me? Chapter 15 in the Book of Enoch. Then addressing me, he spoke and said, "Hear, neither be afraid, O righteous Enoch. Righteous Enoch, thou Thou scribe of righteousness, approach hither and hear my voice. Go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to pray for them, you ought to pray for men and not men for you. Wherefore have you forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women? You've defiled yourself with the daughters of men, have taken to yourself wives, and have acted like the sons of the earth, and begotten an impious offspring. Let's talk about these angels coming down having sex with women. You being spiritual, holy, and possessing a life which is internal, you've polluted yourselves with women. This is the book of Enoch. You've begotten in carnal blood, have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those who are flesh and blood do, speaking to angels. These, however, die and perish. Men die. Therefore have I given them wives, that they may cohabitate with them, that sons might be born unto them, that this might be transacted upon the earth. Male, female, marriage, babies. He said, that's the plan. That was the plan. But you guys from the beginning, talking to the angels, you were made spiritual, possessing a life which is eternal and not subject to death forever. Angels don't die, he's saying. Therefore, I made not wives for you. You don't have to reproduce. You never die. I didn't give you guys wives because being spiritual, you dwell in heaven. Book of Enoch. Now the giants, have been born of spirit and of flesh and shall be called upon earth evil spirits. Anybody tracking this other than me? And on earth shall be their habitation. These evil spirits' habitation is the earth. By the way, how were they created? Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh because they were created from above. From the Holy One. Remember, angels don't die. Do the offspring of angels die? Angels aren't supposed to reproduce. They don't have to. They don't have to reproduce. Okay, well, hang on a minute. Now the giants who were born of spirit and of flesh shall be called upon earth evil spirits. And on earth, that's where they're going to live. Who? These disembodied spirits of angels and men. They can't die. Why? They are eternal. The angels are eternal. The evil spirits shall proceed from the flesh because they were created from above, from the holy. Watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon the earth. And the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. Is this unbelievable? The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born on the earth. Oh my goodness. Anybody getting nervous yet? This is real. This is what we're dealing with. When they say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we're in a tank, they're outside the tank. They can't come and live here, and they don't die. The spirits of the giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth. Somebody help me out. Is that the devil or not? They shall cause lamentations. They don't eat food. They shall be thirsty. They shall be concealed. And shall not I rise up against the sons of men and against women, for they come forth during the days of slaughter and destruction. That's Enoch 15 explaining to us spiritual realm. Are you guys with me? Tracking with me? So, if these disembodied spirits, that's why you ought to read Michael Heiser's book and read some of the stuff that Russ Dizdar did. It so clearly explains what's going on. We don't understand. We're the fish in the tank, and they're outside the tank looking at us. You got me? You say, how can people be that stupid? How can people be influenced that much? Because it's spirit. It's spirit, and it influences the minds of men. My phone just went off again. It's Stephanie, huh? She says, Stephanie, former pagan, says they are the things that people call ghosts. Some different forms. They pretend to be a dead grandma or a little boy or an animal spirit guide, maybe even a dead saint if you're Catholic. My. So, folks, when the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, it's this hierarchical battle between these fallen. Oh my goodness, we don't even know anything about it, do we? They don't even tell us about it. They don't even tell us. Real quick video, and then we'll open it up. Number 12. Angels are assigned to you at birth. How about that? Guardian angels, right? I was just trying to explain to David, we got to call on them. You got to call on the angels. This is very, very quick. The origin of demons. Look, I don't know the credibility of something. I don't know the credibility, okay? I'm not trying to teach you falsehood. I'm trying to open our eyes up to understand if we as Christians don't understand the spiritual war, what hope is there for us, right? All authority has been given to us both in heaven and earth. We're to cast out demons, right? Pull down strongholds. Well, if we don't even know what it means, understand it, how are we going to do that? How are we ever going to do that? So this is really short, 51 seconds on the origin of demons. Go ahead.
Let's talk about demons. Who are they? Where did they come from? These entities were not originally called demons. They were called Nephilims. They are offsprings of fallen angels and mortal women. The Book of Enoch explains that these Nephilims grew to be aggressive. They afflicted, oppressed, destroyed, and attacked humans, caused trouble, and had certain appetite. There was great wickedness on the earth, and God's wrath fell upon the whole earth. According to the Book of Enoch, demons are the disembodied spirits of these dead Nephilims who perished at the time of the Great Flood. And after their deaths, the evil spirits came out of the bodies of the Nephilims and were allowed to roam freely on the earth. And now they are called demons.
For more stories,
David, follow us. So folks, why did we have the flood? Help me out, class. Why did we have the flood?
Immorality, sexual immorality.
But why? Why did he flood the earth?
Because these Nephilim were running rampant.
You're going to care to kill the Nephilim. Remember, they don't die. They don't die. So they become what we would call disembodied spirits. Got it? So think about you when you die. You're a disembodied spirit. Where do you go? Well, we know the salvation message, right? Heaven or hell. Right? Y'all go someplace. We all end up somewhere, right? Well, what if you don't die? Angels don't die. The Nephilim were a mixture of angels and humans. They don't die. That's the spiritual war that we're fighting. That's it. That's a battle that's going on. I'm going to set up for a minute. Because when's the last class you had on this? Anybody had a class on this? And this is that's what we do, friends, when we go stake. We, for lack of a better word, we build walls through which they're not allowed to penetrate. We prayer walked St. Paul, place where we went in St. Paul, and we said to the demons, by the authority of Jesus, you aren't allowed here. Get out of here. You're not allowed here. That's why Paul. That's why Jesus said, every place you put your foot is given to you as an inheritance. Why? Because it's been stolen from us. And we have to go take it back. Disembodied spirits. Died in the flood. By the way, the Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for things coming upon the earth. Didn't it say that somewhere? Huh? Could it be a release of these demonic spirits again? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to say it again. Book of Enoch, not Bible. This is extra biblical. I understand it. Found in the Dead Sea Scrolls after the Bible had been written. Wait a minute. No. Book of Enoch had been written. It just wasn't included in the Bible. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. And what does it say? And they're going to be released short time. And it say that for short time. Somebody Google that up for me. Then the Bible say that they're going to be released. The devil's going to be released for a short time. You think when the devil's released for a short time, by the way, he's bound in chains right now. He's bound in chains right now. He's bound in chains, but his emissaries are still active. He's still given orders. They're still serving their father, the devil. Jesus said to some men, you are of your father, the devil. He wasn't making it up. He was speaking to the spirit that was in those men. You're of your father, the devil. And the works of your father, you will do. So some of us have a heavenly father and some of us have a hellish father. Sorry, that's the way that it is. One more thing, and I'm going to get Alan and you, Craig, in here. Let me tell you something. Hey, Spencer, Google Indian mounds. Google Indian mounds. Hey, folks, they ain't Indians. It ain't Indians. It ain't Indians. Do you understand? Do you understand? They have no explanation for how it ain't Indians. It's fallen angels. In those, my opinion, in those mounds, they will find bodies of these creatures. That's what I think. Why haven't they excavated them? And we know that throughout history. Hey, Spencer, I'm sorry. I'll get you in, Alan. Craig, I'll get you in, I promise. Spencer, Google giants found in America. I'm just guessing. Giant, actual giants found in America. Claims of giants. There was top 10 giant discoveries in North America. Click on that one. Huh? Top 10 giants discoveries. Folks, this ain't made up stuff. These are, look at that next chart. Look at that. Look at that thing. Map of giant reports in North America. What? Yeah. Yeah, but the church refuses to believe this. Smithsonian scientists identified at least 17 skeletons that stood at over 7 feet in their annual reports. That ain't nothing. Some of them say they got to be 20 feet, 30 feet tall. Okay, hang on. I'm telling you, I'm giving you all kinds of information. You got to do your own research. And by the way, your friends are going to think you're nuts. When you start talking to your friends, they're going to think you're nuts. Okay. And I told you this before. Google, Spencer. By the way, you can put all the stuff in the chat so they can have these links if they want to. Spencer, Google Mud Fossil University. Mud Fossil University. I talked about this the other day. So we understand what we're dealing with, friends. Do we understand what we're dealing with? There it is, Mud Fossil University. And it is nothing but videos on skeletal remains of fallen demons, the entire thing. Put that in the chat, Mud Fossil University. Do your own research on it. Okay? Wow. Book of Enoch, the Book of Giants. Spencer, Google that real quick. What does it say about the Book of Giants? What was the Book of Giants? What did Wikipedia say? Well, the Book of Giants is an apocryphal book which expands upon the Genesis narrative of the Hebrew Bible in a similar manner to the Book of Enoch. Together with this latter work, the Book of Giants stands as an attempt to explain how it was that wickedness had become so widespread and muscular before the flood. In so doing, it also supplies the reason why God was more than justified in sending the flood. The context composition has been dated to before the second century. The Book of Giants is an antediluvian pre-flood narrative that was received primarily in Manichaean literature and known as the Turfan. However, the earliest known traditions for the book originate in Aramaic copies of the Book of Giants among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Do you get what's going on here, friends? Do you understand that maybe because of the Dead Sea Scrolls, things are being revealed to us that we never knew before? Go to your pastor and see if he wants to do a sermon series on the giants. Look at that next paragraph. Huh? Wow, look at all that stuff. Okay, so I'm going to shut up. Alan Zeifer, come on in. You can laugh if you want to. You go ahead and laugh. This is what we're dealing with. Go ahead, Alan.
Good morning, Coach. No, Genesis backs up Enoch. Enoch backs up Genesis. Jude backs up Genesis and Enoch. Peter backs up Genesis and Enoch. Revelation chapter 9, I believe, is the culmination of those devils that were doing all these ungodly deeds. Enoch says there was 200 chief angels. Well, how many was under that 200? I believe it's right there in Revelation 9. And they're going to be released. That 200 million man army, it's not the Chinese. It's not the Indians, you know, from India. It's not those folks. It's actual supernatural beings that's going to be released out of a pit that are so big when they flap their wings, it sounds like the voices of many waters.
And men's hearts are failing for fear when they see them.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, Coach, if you read Genesis chapter 6 real good, God plainly tells you he has to destroy every creature from the earth, all creeping things, all fowls of the air, because the angels wasn't just having sex with women. They were having sex with alligators and crocodiles. How do you think all these T-Rexes and all these things was created? They were created by the fallen angels.
Genesis 6, Spence 6.
Verse 7 especially, God tells you he had to destroy all of creation, and the animals that got on the ark, their DNA was not compromised. Every other creature that was destroyed, their DNA was compromised. You're so talking about a being that's supernatural, Coach, that can have sex 24 hours a day. They don't have to sleep. They don't have to recuperate. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. So let me.
And when they get released in Revelation 9, Coach, they've only got a 5-month window to do all the destruction they can do in 5 months. But you're talking about a creature that doesn't need to sleep. They walk through walls. They'll go where Bill Gates is. They'll go where all these billionaires think they're going to hide out. They can't get away from these supernatural beings that can go through walls. You can't shoot them. You can't shoot a missile at them. They travel at the speed of thought. How do you outrun that? How do you dig a bunker to get away from that? You can't. They'll go right through a mountain.
They can't. So let me read this to you real quickly. Then I'll get you in. Craig, you're coming up here next. Genesis 6. This is in the Bible. Begin verse 1, please. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto men, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Who were the sons of God? They were demons, angels. And the Lord saw it and said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Death came as a result of it, folks. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to those daughters of men, and those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Hold it, scroll down. And the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But thank God for Noah. Because Noah came along and he gathered him up some pure people. And God started the whole thing over again, the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just a man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then they began to spread again, and we repopulated the earth. Craig, come on in.
Well, boy, you're on it today, Coach. Man didn't just corrupt himself. We had help. We had help from the fallen angels. And that's why the Lord is set on a rescue mission for mankind. Could you pull up Luke 8:16 through 19, Spencer, and like ESV or, and that's fine. New King James is fine. Okay. I want to look at this and read this just a little bit differently. Okay. Says, no one, when he has a lit his lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under bed and sets it on a lampstand for those who enter it may see it. Okay. We're talking about Christ here. For nothing in secret will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to light. What I want to just make the point, when I'm reading this, you know what I'm saying? If God came and manifested in human flesh, don't you think the opposite side has to come in and manifest itself in human flesh? Isn't that what men are fearing for things that are coming upon them? In other words, the veil, like your eyes are opened up, just like Elijah's servant. Your eyes get to see this, okay? You're going to get to see what you're really dealing with, and that's where I think we're at. The other thing that I want to talk about is this thing called Three Interstellar Atlas, because people are missing the importance of this thing. So, Spencer, I don't know, did you pull up the WOW signal from 1977? It's up there at 735. There was a signal. Actually, it was picked up, Coach. Nope, that's not it, the other one. There you go. The WOW signal was a narrowband signal detected on August 15th in 1977 by Ohio State, right next to you, right, probably by the Indian Mounds, you think?
Coach? Yeah.
And you know what it is? If you go down, it's a 72-second window during which the ear was able to observe it. I would like to ask you a question. Alan Zeifer, how many stars are sitting on top of the dome of the U.S. Capitol, the Apophis of Washington? Would you happen to know that number by chance? I bet you probably don't, but maybe you do. It's 72. How many disciples did Jesus send out?
12.
72. So this signal just happens to be 72 seconds. Wonder if there's a little connection there. Go down a little bit further there. We're going to find out where it's coming from. A little bit further. A little bit further. It's going to keep going. Keep going. Stop right there. Whoa, hold on. Look over there. You see that diagram? It says two. This is where it's coming from, Coach. This signal came from the constellation of Sagittarius.
That'd be me.
Are you Sagittarius? Okay, well, yeah. Good. Good. Well, you're going to like the next slide. Can you go to the next one there where Three Interstellar Atlas is from? That one that you first pulled up? Nope. Let's see where this comet came from. If you go down just a little bit. Hold on. Well, July 1, NASA Atlas, right, detected that arrived at the solar system from the constellation Sagittarius. So guess what? This interstellar visitor just happened to come from Sagittarius, the same location where this 72-second signal came from back in the 1977, and they call it the WOW signal. I'm just saying, I report, you decide.
Oh, my goodness, huh? Stephanie, the former pagan, just texted me. She said, nowadays, there are millions of people who follow occult practices on this planet. Do you guys know that? There are a lot of occultists who are open meat suits, meaning anything could come in and out of them. Different bloodlines of Nephilim spirits can be assigned, can attach, influence, and manipulate different containers, which are humans, if not protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do believe, as Russ Dizdar said, the Black Awakening is getting ready to happen. Whoa. Whew. Joe Allen, come on. Craig, thanks for all that, man. It's a lot to swallow, isn't it, folks? So here you go. Here's your test. Go to ask Pastor and ask him why he's never taught on that Giants. Because would you guys agree with me? If the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Giants are true, it's going to be a pretty cataclysmic event, isn't it? How come we've never heard of it? Joe Allen, come on in.
Yeah, there's a lot of research on Enoch and the Book of Giants. You got L.A. Marzulli. There's also two brothers up in your neck of the area called the Vieira brothers, V-I-E-R-R-A, that fell sick from doing their research on where the bodies went. thus said.
Mm-hmm. Where did they go? Well, they went. Some of those bodies are laying right over the hill here, and they tell us the Indians did it.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm driving. But can I add something here, Coach?
Sure.
Okay. If the Nephilim, they had the fallen knowledge, Coach. It's called esoteric knowledge, okay? And that's why, you know, God hates them, not only for what they did, but for what they know and what they're teaching people and giving them. Okay, so they come in here, and the mounds are the evidence, Coach, that they were here. All of this astronomical perfection that they did, like you said, the Indians didn't do that. The Nephilim did that. They had the understanding. They could. So they're connecting the underworld on the earth, the overworld, which is the second heaven, and they're sitting here on the earth, and they're in the driver's seat. So we walk into what they've already put here on our land. The mounds is where they were. So the disembodied spirits, they're it's called familiar spirits. They're in their locations, okay, where they like to own. And so people walk in there. We did. We moved west. We come right over those mounds, walked right in them. And they embodied the people, Coach, the ignorant, the people without Christ who are empty. They embody them. And then it's like Stephanie says, she's right on. They take them and they influence them. They inspire them. And they're the walking agents of evil. So
as above, Stephanie just texted me, Randy, as above, so below.
Absolutely, Coach. So
making a connection, folks.
Now that we have the Book of Enoch, we can kind of understand this a little bit better. And now, Coach, you've got to move out of the natural to take care of this problem and go into the spiritual. And that's what we're doing. And yeah, that's the context of Jesus saying, when my church understands, in the day they understand, they will prevail against the gates of hell, Coach.
Amen.
The churches haven't prevailed to this point very much. They bring the gospel, but they don't bring any power and authority with it to take down the gate and the established things of the evil. So now, Coach, we're in a day when we can do that. And we can, that's actually what we're understanding. We're not special. We just walked in the day when we understand what God's doing. That's all.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, we'll tell you on Monday what we're up to. It's powerful, man. Hey, Randy, by the way, the legwork that you did and that stuff that I've read, Randy, that is otherworldly, dude. I cannot believe what you put together there. It's unbelievable. And we'll share that when we get back, some of the stuff. Powerful. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, this Holy Bible here says all scripture is given for correction and for reproof, right? Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't a scripture verse referencing Enoch? I have 22 references of different books. The Book of Kings of Israel referenced in Judah and in Second Chronicles. The Book of the Kings of Israel referenced in Chronicles. The Words of the Kings. The Decrees of David, the Chronicles of Samuel, the Chronicles of Nathan, the Book of Gad, the Book of the Prophet Iddo, on and on, 22 different references. Why would God put in the scriptures for us to go look at these books? He didn't tell us to go look at the Book of Lies. All the books that he references are there for a reason for us to go research.
So when he mentions the book of, when the Book of Enoch is mentioned in the Bible, it's a hint to us to go check the Book of Enoch. Folks, would you agree with that? Oh, this is so fascinating, isn't it? And remember, the Bible says that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. The unveiling and revealing of what's going on. Mark Trump, are you out there? Are you out there? Because you know what? You've kind of been on the edge of this without really making a connection. Mark Trump has been plugged into this other, what would we call it? Electrical world, we don't understand, right? We don't understand it. And the job all of you should do, really, if you're still going to church, is go to your pastor and say, why haven't we ever studied the giants, the Nephilim, and see what their response is. What's their response? Well, they don't know. By the way, Rochelle, what you sent me was powerful. I looked at that thing today. I just didn't figure out where I was going to stick it in there. I appreciate what you sent. It really, it, hang on, man. Folks, we got about 6 minutes here. Jump in here if you want to. Wow. Is this something? I sat up there with, and my grandson got it. My grandson got it. So Grampy's like an elevator. Oh, my goodness. Craig, come on in.
Well, Coach, have you ever seen these people that have cancer and they lose their voice and they have to take that box and they have to put it up there and they pick up the vibrations?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yes.
That's what AI is. Okay. It is a, it's the computer system and it does all these calculations for us. It's the voice box for the fallen.
Mm.
That's what chat GPT is.
Wow,
it
wow,
gives
wow.
them the voice box to come in and talk to these kids and make them have, want to have, you know, marry them or tell them to kill themselves. Okay. It's the little box for the fallen to speak through. And guess who made it? They didn't. They convinced man to make it.
Wow.
We put the technology together. See, what happened before is they got spanked really bad when they got in and they started having sex with us. But if they can influence us to do the things and then they yep. use the things that we make for their advantage to kill us, well, God's got to say, you know, hey, you got them to do it. You know, who's responsible?
You made in a your legal court. In it, huh?
Right. See, Craig, we're compliant. We're complicit with it.
Stephanie, who Stephanie can't join the show, but she's listening. She's texting me this. She would know. Sometimes nowadays people see these fallen angels as Bigfoot or Sasquatch. What? Yeah. Nowadays there are millions of people who follow occult practices here on this planet who are open meat suits, different bloodlines. Nephilim spirits can be assigned, can attach, and influence and manipulate different containers, humans, if not protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. I do believe the Black Awakening is what Russ called it. As above, so below. They are connecting. That's what those people were at the Serpent Mound when we went to. I get you. They think they are raising positive energy on a high energy point of ley lines. They're opening themselves for downloads from whatever chooses them, depending on what open spiritual contracts are attached to them. I would spit on those mound spirits again. Go, Team Jesus. So, friends, this is what we're about this coming up this week.
Coach, when you go, you talk about December 21st, 2020. Okay, we're on a 5-year cycle. I hope you realize that. We were in DC on October 31st, 2020. So, what happened? They had the 12 crystal skulls for the Mayans. That was one of their locations, right? And when you were there, this is what Derek Gilbert's saying. You had a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, and it looked like one star. That was December 21st, 2020. He's talking about that as the Saturn. That's the Satan. That's the spirit, okay? So our celestial things that we have up here, you know, our stars, might not necessarily be what we think are just these burning emblems. They're representative of spiritual entities.
Mm. I was reminded, Craig, as you were talking there, does anybody remember the old game show back when they had just three channels? And I'd stay home sick from school. I loved to watch it. It was called You Don't Say. And their theme was, it's not what you say that counts. It's what you don't say. You had to give signals to your partner to try to get them to answer a puzzle. You don't say. So I would say to you right now, today, it's not what you know that matters. It's what you don't know. See you tomorrow.